owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Lieutenant Colonel Tom McKinney. Colonel McKinney, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you so much. And we're going to be talking about the radical Islamic movement today and really, of course, what the American people need to learn about Islam. And, of course, our president keeps saying Islam is a peaceful religion. Well, that doesn't mean that everybody who's a Muslim is a violent individual, but you have to understand that the original Muslim religion is practiced by Muhammad and, of course, has existed up really until within the last 100 years. It was a very, very violent religion, and which they would even kill fellow Muslims who were not, of course, willing to participate in jihad. So with that as a background, Colonel McKinney, you've been looking into radical Islam. What are your thoughts on it?
I believe radical Islam, militant Islam, is the greatest threat to freedom in the world today.
All right. Well, that's a pretty strong statement. Now, why do you say that?
It's because of the nature of Islam. Its tenets do not allow for peaceful coexistence with other religions. Its basic fundamental tenets call for the destruction of all other religions and the forceful bringing of the entire world under Islam.
And this is really the way it was written up by Muhammad, you know, back about 600 A.D. But
exactly.
People have forgotten that.
Well, it wasn't just a matter of doctrine then in the 7th century, but it is today.
Right, it certainly is if you interpret the Quran exactly as it's written.
Sure, and there are a great many Muslims in the world today who do. In fact, I think the vast majority do.
Well, what concerns me, I think an increasing number of them, especially now with, of course, America has invaded their holy land. First of all, we were in Saudi Arabia, adjacent to Mecca and Medina. Now we're in Iraq. And I think that this is really sort of like poking a stick at a rattlesnake. If you don't think he's going to strike at you, I think you're sadly mistaken.
Well, the Islamic leaders, the teachers, the religious authorities, who are also incidentally the political authorities, they certainly point this out to them. They remind them that we are infidels and that we have no right to be in their holy land.
Well, of course, the thing that really bothers me is that we've opened our prisons to people coming in and teaching the radical Islamic faith. We've opened our cities to the Wahhabis coming over from Saudi Arabia to build mosques and to, you know, train the youth, the Muslim youth, in these radical Islamic beliefs. Why would we allow that here? Why have we encouraged the Muslims to come into this country over the last 40 years? We knew that one day, of course, it would be this clash of civilizations. It doesn't make sense.
Well, it probably is a reflection of the fact that we as a nation have abandoned the Bible and the principles of Christ. This nation was founded not just a religious nation, but a Christian nation. The Supreme Court came to that conclusion in 1892. Said this is a Christian nation. This is a religious people. This is a Christian nation. And that no longer, I'm sad to say, is true.
Well, maybe we ought to tell
Sandra. And because we're not, then we're
we're going to have to just hold that thought for
sure.
A moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Well, this afternoon we have with us Colonel Tom McKinney. Lieutenant Colonel Tom McKinney is retired. And, of course, we're talking about radical Islam, and he's been studying this. And although the president says, Islam is a peaceful religion, He obviously has never read anything about Islam because certainly, as Colonel McKinney points out, the very tenets of the Islamic faith are a violent overthrow of all societies and bringing them all under the control of the worldwide Muslim influence. Would that be a fair statement?
That is a very literally true statement. And you know, in your piece there about the defense of Western civilization, it reminds me that in my lifetime, until recent times really, our educational curriculum generalized was very interesting. In high schools, in the sophomore year, kids were taught world history. In the junior year, they were taught American history. And in the senior year, they were taught something called senior civics, which was our political system, the fact that we are a republic and how the governmental bodies function and the Constitution and that sort of thing. And then in college, all freshmen, almost all freshmen, were required to take a course called Western Civ, which was Western, the history of Western civilization. Today, you won't find American history being taught in high schools. You'll find something called social studies. You won't find world history. You'll find something called social studies. You will not find civics in any form being taught in public schools today. And in most universities and colleges, there is no course on Western civilization because Western civilization has become demonized and taught the kids. The kids are taught to look upon Western civilization not as the source of good things, but as the source of all evil.
And of course, that's because it was based eventually upon Christianity, starting with the Greek and the Greek philosophers, but eventually evolving into a Christian world system. And of course, the people who control our educational system truly hate Christianity. We'll be back here in just a moment with Lieutenant Colonel Tom McKinney, and of course we're going to be bringing one more station back online right about now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Tom McKinney. We're talking about radical Islam, and Colonel, now you've been studying this, and you've written a treatise on it, so when did this really begin a threat? Because certainly until maybe 20 years ago, we never heard much about the threat of radical Islam, and certainly it's threatening the United States.
That's true. In fact, in this country, probably most of us never heard Islam mentioned until the rise of something called the Nation of Islam, which was a, a very strange organization with a very strange history. Today, it is a black power organization, extremely racist, led by a fellow named Louis Farrakhan. And, excuse me, they call themselves the Nation of Islam. They are nothing but a heretical, extremely heretical form of Islam, looked upon as freaks and heretics by Orthodox Muslims, but very, very militant and extremely vocal, and they and their utterances drip with hate. They teach that all black men are gods and all white men are devils, for example. And I think it was probably not until then that people began to hear about Islam. And then during the Black Power Movement in the 60s, black Muslim, black Islam began to appear. And celebrities like Cassius Clay, the heavyweight boxing champ, embraced Islam and became black Muslims. And they are much more, as a group, as a rule, much more orthodox than the Nation of Islam. But still, they are and have been a racist group teaching hate for white people and hate for Christ and hate for Christianity.
All right.
However, politically, as a threat, genuine Islam, Orthodox Islam, has really reared its head only in very recent times, and it is making incredible progress. You know, they speak of jihad, which is holy war. Muhammad required this in the Quran, that they conduct holy war, which means to either convert people or kill them. And yet today there is something spoken of as peaceful jihad. And what they mean by that, what their leaders mean by that, is the literal invasion of Christian countries or non-Islamic countries by Muslims who have many babies and multiply rapidly, and as such simply move in and take over without the sword. And I was amazed to learn that the city on the face of the earth with the second highest population of Iranians is Los Angeles, California. There are more Iranians in Los Angeles than any other city in the world, with the exception of the national capital.
Tehran.
Tehran.
Right. And, of course, the Iranians, some of them are Zoroastrians, but most of them are Muslims, aren't they?
Uh-huh. There are more Muslims worshiping in England today than there are Methodists, the birthplace of Methodism. There are more Muslims worshiping in mosques in the U.S. than there are Episcopalians in Episcopal churches.
Well, I've heard that there are far more mosques in southern France than there are churches there.
There are, and you know, I never thought I'd find myself as a kindred spirit with Brigitte Bardot. But I feel real sympathy and empathy with Brigitte Bardot, because she has been convicted twice now of hate crimes in France, simply because she bemoans the fact that there are so many mosques and so few churches.
Well, of course, the thing is that here in the United States, where we have welcomed the radical Islam coming in, financed by Saudi Arabia, our good Saudi friends,
uh-huh.
who have been indoctrinating the Muslim youth, and of course any other youth that they convert to the Muslim faith, into this radical form of Islam, because this, of course, teaches, you know, the use of the sword, killing the infidels, and it is a radical, radical, violent, hateful system, and yet, of course, it is being bred right here, in fact, in Dearborn, Michigan, my understanding. They have so many Muslims there, they almost are the predominant force in Dearborn.
Well, in Leesburg, Virginia, wholesome American Leesburg, beautiful Loudoun County. It's becoming a kind of a bedroom community for Washington, D.C., but they resisted it because they saw what happened to Fairfax County, and I have a lot of friends and churches that I know in Loudoun County, and they have tried to retain their culture and their heritage. And the Saudis have moved into Loudoun County and established what is, for all practical purposes, an Islamic university. Built a huge campus. And, of course, they have limitless funds. And they are now one of the most, if not the most, influential presence in Loudoun County, Virginia.
And yet, of course, we know, and I don't think there's anybody who questions the fact that the Saudis, in one way or another, were financing the 911 hijackers. And,
yes.
Of course, this was brought out in the investigative report, and then, of course, censored by our president, and efforts to sue the Saudi princes for financing the 911 hijackers have been effectively blocked by the administration. In fact, it's the president's lawyer's firm, Baker and Bott, I think it is, who are defending the Saudi princes from a $1 trillion lawsuit. And why, I would think that if there's nothing to conceal, why not let it come out, let it get out in court, put an end to it? And the only thing I can think of is there is something to it, and they don't want the American people to know that people at the upper echelons of our government have been working with the Saudis all along.
It's I can't think of the right analogy, but the reason I'm convinced that the president continues to make this invalid statement, a ridiculous statement, that Islam is a peaceful religion and that the Saudis are our friends, is because he politically needs the Saudis, or thinks he does. It's political. It's not honesty. It's not theological. It's simply what he considers to be pragmatic politics.
But, of course, we expect our politicians to be honest with us. I mean, we could expect Bill Clinton to lie. I mean, he couldn't even decide what the word is, and he
yes.
lied, and he lied, and he lied. But we expect George Bush to be honest with us and straightforward with us.
We would.
And of course, the tragedy is that some of the things he says just don't make sense.
No. And the Saudis are not only, apparently not only funded the 9/11 disaster, but they are the principal source of funds and influence and impetus for all of these Islamic schools in this country.
Right. And of course, we not only have the Islamic schools, but certainly every mosque, you know, where they're indoctrinating the people in this radical form of Islam. And it's said that up to 80% of the mosques in the United States have Wahhabi imams in them. Now, it doesn't mean that all the people who attend the mosque accept this radical form of Islam, but their spiritual guides, their spiritual teachers, have been trained in the Wahhabi faith, which is radical Islam, jihad, and kill the infidels like you and me.
It's like the infiltration of skeptical liberal professors into previously conservative seminaries. In time, they corrupt the entire system. And as long as they have these radical imams in these mosques, they will eventually have radical people in those mosques.
In fact, John Walker, the young man who, of course, went over to and fought with the Taliban.
What became of that guy?
Well, he's in prison now. I think he got a 20-year sentence. But, you know, the thing is, he was trained in the mosques over here before he went over and then trained, I think, in Pakistan and then eventually joined the... I think he was in Yemen for a while in training and, mm-hmm. and eventually joined the Taliban and, of course, was captured in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this doesn't mean that every single Muslim espouses these violent views, but it does mean that this is the basis of the religious faith because it does espouse those radical views. And, of course, it's the people who embrace the traditional form of the Muslim faith that really are a danger. Those are, of course, nominal Muslims, maybe never get around to going to the mosques, or if they do, they're certainly not swept up in this violent approach. They're not a threat to anybody, but the radicals are because, of course, the one way they can get into paradise is to die killing infidels. And
why
the only
do
way
these
you, only
teenagers,
way to be sure to get in is to die in battle.
That's right. Why do these 12-year-old boys in Palestine and Israel blow themselves up killing innocent people? It's because they've been A, taught to hate, and B, they have been lied to and told that if they will do this and if they die while they kill the infidels, they're instantly in paradise.
And, of course, we have a most wonderful video, if you like, if you can take this. It's basically the film footage that is being shown throughout the Middle East today in Arab television, and it is indoctrinating the youth there in building bombs and, of course, the use of weapons and becoming, bombers to kill the Jews and the infidels.
And it's the Palestinian Authority that's behind this.
Sure. But, of course, the videos that, I mean, you're talking about kids that are 6 and 7 and 8 years old. It's called The New Barbarians. We carry it. It's a very important video because you'll actually see what they are seeing. You'll understand how they're indoctrinating a whole generation of youth in these radical and terrible, terrible beliefs that the only way to get to heaven is by dying in battle.
Well, your listeners need to have that video, Dr. Stan.
Well, I'm hoping that many of them will. It's called The New Barbarians, and, of course, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's put together by a good friend, Carol Matriciana. It's very, very professionally done. And once you've seen this, why, you'll understand what we're really up against, because we have a whole generation of the youth of the Middle East and probably the whole Islamic world who are ready to die killing you, your family. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Colonel Tom McKinney. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips
that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, Allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure Allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure Allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention we carry something called Phonopoly, and it's a board game played like Monopoly, but in 16 hours you can learn yourself, or your children or grandchildren can learn to read phonetically, which is the key to learning. If you don't learn that way, of course, you're just never going to read quite right. You can learn to spell. You can learn, of course, to pronounce words correctly. Phonopoly is a fascinating board game. It's actually five board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw a couple of books in. Most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600. This one is $139.95, and you'll really enjoy this if you utilize it. And of course, a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and we're wasting so many good minds in our public schools today, where they're intentionally teaching our children how not to read phonetically. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum on 22 CDs and for $199.95, why you can take your child from grammar school all the way through college, ready for college. And of course, the only thing you have to buy are the Saxon textbooks. All the other books are there. That's the Saxon math textbooks. And so let me suggest that you seriously consider getting the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. And then, of course, we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims for them, but I will tell you that many people who use them do make claims, and they call it truly a miracle. And the Miracle 2 soap products, there's a soap and a lotion and a gel and a moisturizing soap and a neutralizer, which some people tell me helps their upper digestive tract, and some people say it helps the lower digestive tract. But I think that you'll find the Miracle 2 soap products really do work. And we've heard so many, many wonderful stories from the people who've used them, whether it be people with rashes or acne. And we can't tell you it's going to help you, but all we can do is say, give it a try and see. You can, of course, buy an introductory offer by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Lieutenant Colonel Tom McKinney, and of course, we're talking about radical Islam, the threat of radical Islam. And Colonel McKinney, of course, it sounds like, you know, the whole of the Middle East now is seething with anger and frustration with the American troops there having invaded Iraq. And of course, we went over there because we couldn't wait any longer. We had to get in immediately to capture those weapons of mass destruction before they were turned over to Osama bin Laden or somebody else, or Saddam Hussein attacked New York. Or there was such a sense of urgency, and then we get there, and there are no weapons of mass destruction. And then, of course, I think that the Arabs realized this whole thing was a lie. to justify the attack. And we won't get into why we were there, but I think it's important to realize that the whole world is laughing at America. And of course, that's why nobody's sending any troops over there. They're talking about, well, we've already invested $79 billion. They want another $87 billion. And we're going to, in fact, the House just turned down a request for $150 million. The Bush administration wanted to build a children's hospital in Basra. And of course, they turned that down, but they're going to put somewhere between $400 and $500 million into rebuilding health clinics and rebuilding health facilities. We're going to rebuild Iraq, where we don't have money to rebuild America. We're going to put $20 billion to rebuilding Iraq, but we don't have $10 billion to make our planes here secure from surface-to-air missile attacks. There's something wrong with this picture. Why are we spending all the money overseas? And when, of course, we don't have the money, we're just going further and further into debt.
That's true. That's perhaps the most depressing part of it all. You know, I think we should make it clear, and you've done this really, but I'll repeat it, that not all Muslims are militant. Not all Muslims are a threat. But it is true. They have indifferent Muslims. They have nominal Muslims, just like we have indifferent and nominal Christians. If they were good Muslims, if they were true to the teachings of Muhammad, then they would be radical, they would be militant, and they would be about the business of killing those infidels who won't convert.
And of course, the tragic thing is we're putting our boys over there in harm's way, and one or two dies every day. But they never talk about the number of wounded. We've already brought well over 1,000 back without arms or legs or permanently crippled physically or psychologically. And we never talk about the casualties or the ones that are dying of some rather strange diseases and pneumonias. And because we don't want the American people to begin, of course, asking what this really all about. And, of course, what I believe it's really all about is permanently stationing American troops in the Middle East. And Iraq is simply the first in a series of attacks. Have you gotten into this at all, Colonel? Have you heard any of this?
No, I haven't, Dr. Stan. I'll take your word for that.
Well, of course, we have a wonderful interview with a man named William Crystal, who heads the Project for the New American Century. And they're the group that really control the administration, the people in it, like Dick Cheney.
That's Bill Crystal that publishes the
Weekly Standard, yes.
Uh-huh. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, it's ABC. It was I believe it was the 5th of March on ABC Nightline. And it basically said, you know, we're going to take out Syria. We're going to take out Iran. It's only a matter of time before we'll take out Saudi Arabia one way or another. And we're certainly not going to let North Korea become a bomb-building factory. And, of course, it was very obvious they have a long-range plan. They just don't want to tell the American people about it, because an awful lot of them would say, well, what's this really all about? We don't want to be wars throughout the world, and yet that is what this small clique that controls the government intends.
Uh-huh.
So, in fact, my March newsletter, I don't know if you still have a copy of that, but we went into the background of the Project for the New American Century, and anybody can go up on their website at newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. And, of course, you'll find out who the people are. You'll read their letters or their articles and so many of the publications, Frank Gaffney, Gary Bauer, William Bennett, you know, and then, of course, Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz mm-hmm. and Bolton and all of these people who control the administration. And then, of course, Gaffney is always backing them. And of course, Bauer is always backing Gaffney. And, of course, if you don't know who the people are, you can't understand how they all keep giving this feeling there's this tremendous support out here. And then, of course, the Weekly Standard and of course, all their publications, the National Review, the Wall Street Journal, all pushing in the same direction towards involving us in war after war after war. And if you go to their website, they'll tell you about their whole idea is a new international regime that will, of course, benefit our profits and our principles, whatever those might be. And if you haven't read, certainly Ron Paul's excellent article, it's entitled Neocon, the Call to Arms, and that's going to be the basis of our next newsletter. Why you'll be able to pick that up, it'll be our October newsletter, and you'll understand the relationship between what's going on today and a man named Machiavelli, who wrote a book called The Prince that laid out a plan to change the world forever. We'll be back here in a few minutes right here at Radio Liberty.
the Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention, we carry the big Berkey water filters, and if you really have a problem with your water at all, or you would like to be sure that there's no bacteria or cryptosporidium in it, if you'd like to get rid of most of the heavy metals and most of the pesticides and herbicides and most of the chlorine, the big Berkey filter will do that for you. It does a beautiful job. It's been a design that's been used by missionaries for 150 years. And you put the water in the top, it goes through ceramic filters that are packed with activated carbon. Water comes out the bottom, tastes good. And of course, most of the impurities are certainly taken out of it there. And so if you'd like to get the big Berkey, they're $239.95 at Radio Liberty. And of course, if you buy them through us, you'll get either a four-tape set or a video we produce. There is a $10 charge for shipping. Big Berkey is a workhorse. The only trouble is it's not available in California or Iowa. However, here in California, you can get the Berkey Light. And the Berkey Light is made of Lexan, so you can actually see the level of the water. The filters are really much more efficient. We call them water purifiers rather than water filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, whereas the ceramic filters in the Big Berkey can be cleansed and used over and over again. So you could get either one. The Berkey Light is $199.95, and of course, if you get that through us, you'll get the four-tape set or the video we produce. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you'll actually see the items there. You'll actually have an opportunity to look at them. And then if you want to order one, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And I think you'll find that these will be very, very useful things to have in case of any sort of an emergency. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Colonel Tom McKinney. Colonel, do you have a website? I know you have a regular monthly publication because we get it, but always look forward to it.
Yes, we do have a website, Dr. Stan. It's Words for Living, all run together, MIN for ministry, .org.
Words for Living Ministries.
Words for Living, MIN.
Right.
.org.
.org.
Uh-huh.
All right, fine. Did you ever finish that book you were writing?
I finished it three times and thought I was finished, and I have a new publisher now, and I've discovered that I must go back and make it a much smaller book, so I'm not finished.
All right, fine.
Even though I thought I was three times.
All right, well, let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I want to make one comment. I noticed today that Congress is marking up a bill to put sanctions on Syria, and I'm just kind of wondering, I'd sure like to, if Mr. McGinney has any idea, I'd like to be a fly on the wall in the White House right now, because I wonder what's going on there with this deal with Condoleezza Rice taking over the reigns in Iraq, and it seemed like that whole White House is in a turmoil. Do you have any idea what's going on there right now?
I don't. Really, I don't. You're probably better informed about that than I am, because I've been sick for some time and sort of out of the game.
Well, Fred, I do think that, of course, Syria is on the list of targets. If you get that, you can actually get the transcript of that interview, and I think it was either the 5th or the 3rd of March of this year, where William Crystal talked about the various targets that this group that controls the government has. They're not elected, but they control our government. They control the media. Of course, they're basically a Council on Foreign Relations front organization. But he talked about Syria, he talked about Iran, he talked about North Korea, he talked about Saudi Arabia, and without any hesitation at all, he, of course, talked about how we are going to control the world. That's what it's all about. And I don't think that's what the average American wants. How many American boys are we willing to sacrifice as we move to control the world? Because these people think that war is good and peace is terrible, and you have to lie. And if you haven't read Ron Paul's wonderful article, Neocon to Call to Arms, why it will be this coming month's newsletter, simply because I think it is the most forthright explanation of what's going on. And of course, we've summarized it as best we can. And of course, the following month, we'll tell you why they're allowing this information to get out, because ordinarily, the Council on Foreign Relations conceals any information about its front organizations. On this one, it's allowing the information to get out. Anything else you want to say, Fred?
Yes, I listened to an interview with William Crystal the other day, and he didn't think it was wrong at all to lose a few guys here and lose a few guys there.
As long as it's somebody else's son.
As long as it's somebody else.
Yes,
he didn't
that's
really
right.
care.
Well, he's one of the elitists, you see. And, and of course, these they're all old-line Trotskyites. They were communists. And of course, now they call themselves neoconservatives. They're still Trotskyites.
I call them chickenhawks.
Well, of course, yeah, they're quite willing to kill as many American boys as possible, but and as long as it furthers their goal, the New World Order, the
anyway,
New World Religion.
Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Ted. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think the American people sooner or later are going to have to realize that we are in World War III. Our leaders have a different agenda, and they're not telling the American people the truth.
I think that it's really important, to Dr. Stan, for all of your listeners to understand that these power brokers, these very powerful men, these members of the power establishment, don't think like we do. They really don't. They look upon the bulk of us as ignorant peasants who really don't know what's best for us, and they look upon themselves as an enlightened elite who do know what's best for us, and therefore it's not wrong to lie to us, it's not wrong to deceive us, it's not wrong to get tens of thousands of us killed in the process. Henry Kissinger, apparently, I wish I had this on tape, but I'm convinced that it's a true story. I've been hearing it for a long time from people who were there, that he made a comment at a cocktail party. In speaking of the POW activists, one of whom I am, who were still striving to get the truth on the prisoners of war who were abandoned in Southeast Asia and also abandoned after Korea and also abandoned after World War II, and he said, quote, "I can't understand all this fuss over a few soldiers." And the fact is, he can't. He really can't.
Well, I don't
because
know.
To him, it isn't important that we left them behind. It's just they don't think like we do.
Well, of course, in the book, The Final Days, page 194, Kissinger is quoted as saying in front of General Haig and his staff, you know, American soldiers are simply stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy affairs, foreign policy manipulation. Stupid,
yeah.
Dumb animals. This is how the elite thinks. And remember, this is the man who helped to get George Bush into office and who George Bush selected to head the special committee that was going to investigate what happened on 9/11. Until, of course, the families were infuriated because they knew this man was dishonest. He's always been dishonest. So why is the president picking a man like that, of course, to head a very important committee? Let's go to David, who's calling us from Illinois. Hi, David. Question or comment?
I had a question for Tom McKinney. Does anyone still publish his books on Freemasonry, like Please Tell Me Questions About Freemasonry? I contacted Huntington House, and they said they no longer publish that.
Well, I'm having trouble hearing you. I didn't get your name.
This is David calling from Illinois, and he wants to know
David,
if anybody is still publishing your book on Freemasonry.
The
please
sad
tell
truth
me.
Is that the answer is no, David, because Huntington House went bankrupt. And they're not only not publishing, please tell me, they're not publishing anything. And I'm very sorry to say that. Now, the book Deadly Deception is still available because we bought quite a few of them before they went bankrupt. The book Please Tell Me, which I consider to be a more important book than Deadly Deception, is very hard to find. We bought what they had left in stock, but we have very few left.
You do still have a few?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. Well, of course, then we could perhaps get... do you want to tell David how he might be able to reach you?
David, you can call us. We have a toll-free number, but frankly, I can't remember what it is.
Is it on your website?
That sounds terrible, but I can't. Let's see if I can. While I look for it, I'll tell you that, yes, we have a few copies left of Please Tell Me, and we have quite a few of Deadly Deception. And if you'll call, here it is. This is a toll-free number, 866-672-9179. Just call the office, and we can do the rest.
William Still's book, The New World Order, that's an important book, too. That's...
Yes.
Is that gone now, too?
No, you can still get that, I think, from that the original number. They've changed the name of the publishing house. We actually carry the book. You can get that through us if you want to.
They changed
the New World Order, the Ancient Plan of Secret Societies by William Still, available through Radio Liberty.
I was wondering if somebody bankrupt them on purpose?
I think it was just a thing that happened, a natural result of practices.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks so very much, David. And let's go to Dave calling from Illinois. Is this Dave?
Yeah.
Well, we had David calling from Illinois. Now we've got Dave calling. Go ahead.
Right. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
A couple comments. I was on the internet at the library today. I was at the InfoWars.website.
Alex Jones, right.
Right. And there's an excellent article about cyber warfare and how Al-Qaeda is really, really stepping up the plate as far as being able to attack us cyber-wise. And they quoted one government official who says it's a question of if, not when, we're going to be attacked in cyberspace. Now, I myself have been predicting this for a long time. But you put that, you take a look at that, the chance of a cyber attack against our infrastructure. Also, last summer, there was an article in the New American Magazine about how radical Islam is working its way into our street gangs, like in large cities. Islamic element is getting into our street gangs, like in New York, L.A., places like that. And also you take a look at the fact that how we've ticked off the entire Middle East with this stupid war in Iraq, you know. And you have a powder keg brewing here.
Now you do, but of course...
A total powder keg.
Dave, remember one thing, and that is that they're trying to scare us to death, so we'll accept total government control over our lives. It has been 2 years since the 9/11 attack and the phony anthrax attack, because the government knew that was coming and didn't tell us, because they all started on Cipro the night of September 11th. Why would they do that unless they knew or suspected an attack was coming? And if they knew or suspected, why didn't they tell us? But there have been no other attacks, because they've thoroughly infiltrated this whole radical Islamic movement. That's why we haven't had another attack. But they can't tell the American people that, because then we wouldn't accept their Patriot Act and their Office of Homeland Security and the monitoring of everything we do in the name of fighting terrorism. So don't let them scare you to death, Dave. What we need to do is expose the people who are behind this and what really happened on the morning of September 11th.
But don't you think, Dr. Stan, that an attack is possible?
Of course an attack is possible. But, of course, they have this thing pretty well in it. And if there's going to be an attack, they're going to know about it ahead of time. They have their agents, and the other countries have their agents all throughout the radical Islamic movement. So there's a conscious effort to frighten us to death. Why is it you think we've gone 2 years without an attack?
I don't know.
All right, fine. Well, just ask yourself and start thinking about it and ask, how was it that within 2 hours of the attack on September 11th, the FBI that had no idea there was going to be an attack, had no idea who the hijackers were, was at the restaurants where the hijackers ate, at the neighborhoods where they lived, and the flight schools where they trained? How do you think that was possible? That was almost miraculous, wasn't it?
Well, I know they had prior knowledge. I'm convinced of that. But I guess my next question is, if Ben Dexton is, What do you think is coming in? I'm just your personal opinion here.
I think there's going to be a financial collapse. I think there's going to be a dictatorship in America. I think there's going to be unrest when the people find out that we've shipped their jobs out of here. They're impoverishing them. They're destroying the value of the dollar, our savings, our bonds, our annuities, our pension funds. I think the American people are going to be a little angry, but don't you worry. They've already made all the arrangements because we have all these laws in place to fight terrorism.
Well, Dr. Stan, I think, final comment here, I think that within about 10 years, 5 to 10 years, you can see this crash because for all kinds of reasons, I think it's going to come at us within that time frame.
All right.
Five
well,
to 10 years.
I hope we've got 5 to 10 years. Bye-bye, Dave. God bless. What do you think about what Dave was saying, Colonel?
I really don't know. I am trying to understand the whole thing. What, for example, how do you see that this radical Hispanic movement to take back California, Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, and create this nation of Aztlan or whatever it is they call it.
Aztlan, right? Well,
and incidentally, the deputy governor, what's that?
Oh, you mean Cruz Bustamante?
Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante was a member of that group.
Right, of Mecha. Well, who finances Mecha?
How will that fit into all of this?
Well, who finances Mecha and, of course, LULAC and this whole group of organizations of illegal immigrants? They call them undocumented immigrants. No, they're here illegally.
Yeah.
They never want to use that word, though.
I don't understand what they don't understand about the word illegal.
Well, of course, you have to, basically, the whole thing is funded by the Ford Foundation and our great tax exempt foundations. They are funding this whole thing. They're the ones, of course, who are doing everything they can to keep the border open because there's a much bigger agenda than this.
It seems to me that...
And these poor people in Mecha and LULAC and the Cruz Bustamante, who isn't very smart, they're all being used by these people whose dedication is to the New World Order and the New World Religion, and they work in our foundations and our corporations, and their loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream.
Yes, and don't you think most of this, if not all of this, has to do with destabilization of our culture as we have known it?
Absolutely. So they can turn American against American, and right now they're not doing too good a job because most of the Hispanics want to be good Americans, but of course they want to bring in all these illegals and then of course, you know, have them identify with Mexico rather than with America. That's why they've done everything they could to discourage making English the official language of the United
States.
Look
what bilingualism has done to Quebec.
Sure, and that's what they want
and
to do here.
Do the
so
same
you can
thing here.
Play one group against another.
Yes.
There's a wonderful book, basically. It's called Importing Revolution, and it goes into how the Ford Foundation is funding this. We actually carry the book. The video that's put out by Glenn Spencer on Aztlan, Conquest of Aztlan, he goes into the Ford Foundation. No question, and of course, who did they pick to head the whole immigration movement? Why, if, you know, and to guard our borders, why a fellow from the Ford Foundation? So, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. It's just that the American people don't know, or maybe they don't care. But
you know, if the establishment media would tell us the truth, you and I wouldn't be doing what we're doing here tonight.
Well, I'd be out of a job.
Right.
But, you know, of course, at least we have a small group of people, and a growing group of people, who are listening out across America and getting an education, and hopefully they're, of course, trying to find things that we say that aren't true, and of course they called, they asked for the documentation, we give it to them, and how we created the Islamic terrorist movement, how we funded, spent $51 million on textbooks to indoctrinate the youth of Afghanistan and Pakistan in radical Islam during the 1980s. Why would you do something that stupid?
Yeah.
Unintentionally?
Yeah.
And it's about time the American people got the documentation. You want the documentation of what I just said? Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you the article out of the, of all places, the Washington Post. That'll tell you exactly what I told you.
You know, how important, we know that Bill Clinton and Tony Blair are players in this Anglo-American globalization power structure, but how important do you think those two are?
I think that they're simply figureheads. I think that just as George Bush is a figurehead. I mean, they're afraid to turn him loose in a regular press conference. I mean, if he does a press conference, everything's scripted ahead of time. The questions the reporter's going to ask, the answers he's going to give. I mean, he isn't, you know, the establishment doesn't trust him, you know, because whenever he speaks, why, he's always making some remark like, oh, we're going to get him dead or alive, you know. Or,
uh-huh.
And, of course, it sounds real good, but the truth of the matter is we never tried to get Osama bin Laden. In fact, we wouldn't let the Green Berets in Afghanistan go after him. And we put the Afghans there, and they escorted him over into Pakistan. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Well, we're just about out of time, Colonel. It's always fascinating, and I always enjoy talking to you. Have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Don't you see it as the basis for all this globalization?
Absolutely.
A global dictatorship.
That's where we're headed.
And what stands in the way is Western civilization and its traditions.
And that's why they have to destroy it. And of course, if we look at it just from the geopolitical point of view and miss the spiritual, we've missed what this is really all about. Well, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I do urge your listeners to buy that video that Carol produced. She's a consummate professional.
That's called The New Barbarians. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Mann.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, built on his mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and as long as we were talking about the video that Carol Patriciata put out, it's called The New Barbarians, and we recommend it to you. We also have a new four-tape set. It's called The New Order of Barbarians, and it's basically four interviews or talks given by Dr. Dunnigan, based upon a lecture he heard back in 1969 by a man who was on the inside of this whole incredible conspiratorial movement. His name was Dr. Richard Day. He had been the medical director of Planned Parenthood. And, of course, the four tapes, one of them I did because I tracked him down. I wanted to listen to him myself and find out if I really thought he was valid, and after talking to him for an hour, I'm convinced he's accurate. And then three interviews done by Randy Engel, who's a pro-life activist, and it comes along with a complete transcript of this, a unique experience. As somebody once said, every American should hear this. One of our supporters who had heard it, it's called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's a four-tape set complete with a transcript. You need to get it. You need to hear it. You need to get other people to understand that everything that is happening was scripted long, long ago. And then, of course, if you have not yet read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it either by itself or with the video and the audio tape, and that's $29.95. It's called The Brotherhood of Darkness Special. Of course, we make the offer because we want you to actually copy the video. We want you to copy the tape, and to say that we want you to copy them right when you do it. That's the copyright part. But we want you to get the information out to as many people as you can, because when people see The Brotherhood of Darkness, they'll suddenly begin to understand what's really going on behind the scenes, and of course how so many of our elections are simply frauds to keep the American people believing that they're going to be able to throw the rascals out. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when, of course, we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there and you, of course, believe that there's a problem, why, we hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day as we reach out across America by radio, by shortwave, by satellite, by internet, trying to get people to understand what's really going on. We recently went through an election here, a recall election in California. It's very interesting that 14% of the population voted for a Republican named Tom McClintock. Over 55%, I think, voted for a man who called himself a Republican named Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is the new governor of the state of California. It is not simply by accident that the man who will head the transition team is Congressman David Dreyer. Now, I've known David for, 20, 25 years. I had dinner with him 25 years ago when he was a good conservative from Southern California. Now he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the elite group that rules America, and he's still a congressman. Of course, he's compromised his principles, and he's being well rewarded for going over to the other side. And he is the man that Arnold Schwarzenegger has chosen to head the transition team as we move from a Democrat regime controlled by the CFR to a Republican regime controlled by CFR people. And so it really doesn't matter, as Professor Quigley said. You know, we could throw the rascals out every 4 years, but the foreign and domestic policies always remain the same. Now, it may make a little bit of a difference here at our state government. I certainly hope that it will. But, you know, I'm not very optimistic as far as the change is concerned, because the people behind Arnold Schwarzenegger all came from the Council on Foreign Relations, people like, of course, George Shultz, a longtime CFR member, and so many of the people, I'm sure, who are going to be associated with a new regime come from this one group that controls both of our political parties. So understand what's going on, and you can get our information on our website at RadioLiberty.com. You will want to get Professor Quigley's book, and he was Bill Clinton's mentor, and he will tell you how this whole system really works. His book, The Anglo-American Establishment, goes into the background of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created. One arm of this became the Council on Foreign Relations, the other became the Rhodes Scholars, and of course you can understand General Wesley Clark, who now is the leading candidate for the Democrat nomination. Now, whether they can sell him to the American people, I don't know, but he's been created by the media. Why? Well, he just happens to be a member of the CFR and a Rhodes Scholar, two of the arms of the Cecil Rhodes secret movement, which dominates our society today. These things don't happen by accident. How could it be that General Wesley Clark declared his candidacy on the 17th of September, and 7 days later I get my Newsweek magazine, and there he is on the front page with three articles about him? So often now in the New York Times, they'll have not one but two or three articles about General Wesley Clark. Why? Because he's being created, as most of the candidates are created by the people who control the media, who control our reality. Well, remember our telephone number if you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or our video of the war, Iraq, the Untold Story, I should say, which tells you the story of all of the wars, including the war in Iraq, and why we are really there. And then we have a syllabus that goes with that. You can buy the syllabus by itself or the video by itself, or get them both together at a reduced price. We're going to be putting on a seminar on the 29th of November at Aptos Seascapes, an all-day seminar. You're going to have to call ahead of time because we're going to have lunch. We have to know how many people are coming. It's $49 all day long. There'll be a great lunch, a good time, and, of course, some great, great speakers. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR to make your reservations for the conference we're going to be having at Aptos Seascape on the 29th of November, 2 days after Thanksgiving. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. And please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.